How's everyone? I have a couple of housekeeping things to go over with you before Ron Walters comes and introduces Dr. Ralph Martin to you this evening. But in the back of the auditorium, when you leave, this will be back there. And I think they have a graphic that they might be able to pull up so that you can see it. And they are two T-shirt designs. If you can't read that, one of them says thankfulness and gratefulness and appreciation and praise. And then the back of it has a light bulb with the brain inside of it for intentional mind. That is the logo that is going. And the other one says, I am, and it has a blank spot. And then has the intentional mind logo on the back of it. So if you want to sign up for one of those, you can. If you put your name on the dotted line, you have bought one, because it will be made for you. You can go ahead and pay for it if you'd like. The easiest way that you can do that is at the Eagles Way app. If you have not yet gone to Google Play or the Apple iStore and downloaded your Eagles Way app, we encourage you to do that. From there, not only can you revisit and rewatch this service that takes place with Dr. Ralph, but you can, there's blogs that are there, lots of information that is there. Those of you that are Eagles Way folks, hopefully you have already downloaded that and have that. If you are visiting with us, thank you for that. There's lots of people that may be watching this video now that aren't here tonight, and we want you to know that you can do that also. Go to the Eagles Way app, download that. If you would, I want to read a scripture to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 says, dear brothers and sisters, honor those who are your leaders in the Lord's work. They work hard among you and give you spiritual guidance. Show them great respect, wholehearted love because of their work, and live peaceably with each other. Dr. Ralph doesn't charge us a dime to be here on these Wednesday nights. And many of you may be his clients, and you pay a monthly fee to, and that's how he makes his living, in life coaching. But if you want to donate at any point in time, you can do that. You can do that at the Eagles Way app. If you text this number, or text Eagles Way Church to this number, it will send you a text back, and it'll allow you to download the app. From there, you can give straight to what's called PushPay. It is a very safe and secure way to do it. Over half of our congregation is now doing their tithes and offerings that way. If you wanted to go directly to Dr. Ralph, in the memo line, all you do is put intentional mind. Soon, hopefully this week, there will actually be intentional mind will be in the drop-down box that you have to choose, but that is a way that if you want to give, if you want to wait till the end of the session and do it, he doesn't do this for a $199.95, right? So those two options are out there. The T-shirt is for you. They are $15, or you can donate. So, Ron, if you will come and introduce Dr. Ralph to us.
Good evening. I will try to be quick. I've shared with Dr. Ralph what I'd like to say to open this up. And I don't know if Chris Tackle here is here, but poor Chris, he heard me in his driveway Sunday, and you'd have thought I was trying to talk to Dr. Ralph from Zebulun to Stockbridge without a cell phone. I was impassioned. I have been meditating for about a week now, and after a few days, some thoughts started to come together. And I just want to take a few minutes. I will do my best not to cut into Ralph's time and your time here learning, but there's a couple of things as I begin to meditate that struck me, and I just want to encourage us, say some things that we perhaps already know, but remind you of perhaps. James said it's incumbent upon us to not just say, well, God bless you and go your way when we come across people who are hungry or thirsty or cold. And from time to time, and if you watched last week or you were here, you heard Ralph say, I'm going to say some things that might shock you. They might offend you. Those are statements that he's making. But we don't need to take these statements and doubt or question, is Ralph saved? There's no reason for us to be afraid of things that are mentioned here. In Hebrews 6:1, in fact, Paul said, he laid out some heavy things: baptism, laying on of hands, repentance, faith, resurrection of the dead, eternity. And you know what he called these things? He said they were elementary. Can you imagine if there was a preacher up here and he made some comment about one of those? Those are sacraments of the church. There are churches that build their whole doctrine around these things. And Paul said they're elementary. I would imagine that after this, that there might have been some people who were offended. Did you hear what he said? Does Paul backslidden? I'm not sure. He called that elementary. So if you hear a statement, don't be afraid. Don't wonder if Ralph is backslidden, because, you know, he makes some doozies. He was preaching the other day and he came up and he said, "Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." Who understands that? That doesn't make any sense. That's a whopper. That's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But what is he getting at? If we're going to go out in the world and feed people spiritually and emotionally, and there are far more people who are spiritually and emotionally naked and hungry and cold, we have to move beyond elementary teachings. We have to hear things that have some impact on people. If Ralph's hurting and he hasn't been through all the things he's been through, and I come across him, I can say, "Ralph, will Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you and keep you?" Or I can say, "Dr. Ralph, how you been thinking? How you been?" You know what I'm saying? You know, so there's some meat on the bone here. Don't worry about a statement. You're welcome to ask. You're welcome to look it up. So I'm just going to leave that out there. The second part that I began to meditate on was a comment that he made last week about Pharisees and the Christ. And it really struck me, with all due respect to his God and devil comment, that you're your own God or your own devil. The one about the Pharisees really kind of stuck with me, and it probably did for a reason. And so I begin to meditate. I'm thinking, so there's some Pharisee here. What's going on? Because I could have this. This could be me. And the first thing that came to my mind, the very first thing that came to my mind was, do you know where positionally the Pharisees were? I'm not talking about in Joppa or Rome or Jerusalem. Jesus said, "You stand at the entrance." The Pharisees were at the entrance to the kingdom. They weren't real far away. One lawyer made a comment one time, this lengthy statement, and Jesus said, "You're real close." Jesus said, "Why do you hate me? Is it because of the works that I do?" Oh, no, 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 no. We get the works. We love the works. Your works are great. Singing's good, dancing good, preaching good. But don't say you're the Christ. Do not say you're the Christ, because when you say you're the Christ, you make yourself equal with God. And we remember what the prophets said. The prophets told our ancestors, "You've committed spiritual adultery. You've fallen away from God." And we're not going to do that. Those poor Pharisees, they were zigging when they should have been zagging and zagging when they should have been zigging. And they missed a whopper because the sun was standing right in front of them. What do you think would happen if Buren and Barber heard Dusty on the way out the door say, I am Buren Barber made over"? What, the next morning, Buren walks into the kitchen all haggard looking, and Barber goes, "What's wrong?" "Well, I don't know. I heard Dusty say on the way out the door, she's us. I don't know what that means. I'm not sure what to do with that." You think we ought to sell the house? Is she trying to move in the house? Maybe she wants the big chair, big brown chair on Saturday to watch football. You think, oh my God, what if she wants to preach? Do you think? No. A million times over, no. If your kids came up to you and said, "Daddy, thank you. I am you made over. Thank you for the life you've lived. When you were wrong, you said it. I love everything about you. Thank you." You would fall to your knees. You would hug them. You would scoop them up. You'd buy them Dairy Queen before dinner. You'd love them. It would bring tears to your eyes. And the Bible says you were not born of any man's will, but you were born of the will of the Father. And somehow, somewhere along the way, the Pharisees continue to say, God will be mad if you say you're the Christ. God will be mad if you compare yourself to him. Jesus said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it reproduces. Now, if Genesis 1 is right and like reproduces like, then when the Christ died, what did he reproduce? You are the Christ of your world, and you are a Christ in this world, along with 2 or 3 billion other people who can choose to be the Christ if they want to be the Christ. And if you're watching on a video and you're at home or another church, Eagles Way ain't got the corner market on Christ. You can be Christ too in your church or your town, because that's why Christ died. God's not up there going, son, I got something for you. There's a guy named Ralph down there, and he's teaching about the Christ. And right about now, Ron's got a hold of it, and he's saying that he's the Christ too. Oh, no, Daddy, I'm afraid. You said I could be the Christ. No. Thank you. I died for a reason, and they got it. They got it. God's not afraid. You honor God when you acknowledge that you are the Christ of your world. Christ Terry, Christ Joe, Christ Gala. You're double Christ. We got Christ Christy sitting right there. Christ Joey, Christ Ken. You are the Christ, and God loves it. And he loves you because Jesus died to reproduce. The Christ died, and he's reproducing himself. And you are the Christ of your world. And you are a Christ in that world, feeding people who are naked and cold and could use a blanket spiritually and emotionally. So now that you know you're the Christ and God's not upset, how do we be the Christ? Dr. Ralph, would you come instruct wise people and make them wiser still?
I don't know much about machinery, but anyway, I think we got it on. As I was sharing last week, Christ wasn't Jesus' last name. He was the Son of God, which was the Christ, and he was the Son of Man, which was Mary's boy, Mary's son. Not Joseph, but Mary's. Joseph's stepson, but Mary's son. And what Mary was, like all mothers are, she gave him, she incubated his body. And when did Christ become in Jesus? At the very conception. And it happened when the angel appeared to Mary. Now you understand, the Bible is a book of metaphors. And what I mean by that, quit reading it as a history book. It's not a history book, it's a book of metaphors, a book of principles. And when Mary met the angel, and she said to the angel, how can this thing be, seeing that I don't know a man? Well, Mary, you're not going to need a man. And then when she said to the angel, be it unto me according to your word, the conception happened. The moment you acknowledge, it happened. Elizabeth said something to me last week, and Elizabeth, I really appreciated this. Elizabeth said, I've heard you say so many times, who convinced Jesus that he was God? Well, he did. But as I said last week, how many times do you think his mother told him? How many of you think, you being a mother, and that happened to you, how many times do you think from birth to 30 years old, he heard that story? Several times. But it was only when he accepted it in himself as truth did it become actuality. Now, once Christ in him became the dominant thought, then all the works of miracles of God started happening. Now that says a lot, because I shared with you before, your Trinity is thought, thinking, and talking. A lot of people hear me over the years and immediately they feel, well, I need to start changing the way I talk. And they try to start talking positive, so they try to correct the positive talking. Now, trying to correct positive, your talking into positives and don't go back to the thoughts and correct those, the best it could be called is managed behavior. And managed behavior will only go so far until you blow a top. you got to go back to the root. And the root is the way you think. As a man thinketh, so is he. Now, I want to finish my Paul Harvey story. April wasn't the only one who told me this last week. I had several people ask me last week, said, you didn't finish your Paul Harvey. Now the rest of the story. Take but a second. Paul went to commercial last week when Jesus was struggling between, wrestling between religion and being spiritual. He was raised as a Jewish young man in the priesthood as a very religious young man. That he got down. But he was not ready to do the works of Christ because he's only sent to the lost Jews. Well, the Jews was considered the whole world. Right. Yeah, we got to quit believing everything we're told. No, in that days and age, everything like it is today, everybody had their cliques and everybody had their sections. And Jesus made it very clearly, as a Jewish man, as a Jewish rabbi, as a Jewish priest, I'm only been sent here to help the Jews. Now, disciples, when he sent them out, he told them very specifically, only go to the lost sheep of Israel. And guess where they went to? Only to the Jews. And that clicked on for about a year and a half of his ministry. And it was in that year and a half where he got very, very popular. My Lord, they was coming out of the woodworks to hear him. Like down in South Georgia and West Florida, they like roaches. They coming out from under everything to hear him. I mean, you ever been down there? Now, they don't call them roaches down there. They call them palmetto bugs. We call them in Tweed County roaches. Flying roaches. And they were coming out of the woodworks to hear him because they were so intrigued by his sermons. And beside that, that man giving away free fish sandwiches. When they come out with that movie with Kevin Costner, I think it was Kevin Costner, what, 20 years ago, Build It and They Come, The Field of Dreams? Build It and They'll Come. Do you know how many pastors I know that thought they heard God tell them that and went and tried to build big churches? I told them, God didn't tell you that. That's a movie, Field of Dreams. It ain't Build It and They Come, it's Feed Them and They'll Come. Well, thank you for your enthusiasm. Amen. You want to draw a crowd, you start feeding them. Free sandwiches. They'll come. And they came. And then one time, somebody let her slip in, a little Syrophoenician woman who happened to be a Gentile. And she made her way to him, and she said to Jesus, because he's very popular. He's even raising the dead. Now, I mean, no, that'd get a crowd. That would get a crowd. He's feeding people. He's healing people. But they were all Jews. And this little Syrophoenician woman came to him. And she said, I brought my daughter, and I want to know if you might could heal her. And Jesus said to her, now that we're left off last week, he said to the woman, woman, it's not meant for me. In other words, it's not my will. It's not my commission to give the children bread, the children, the Jews, bread, food, messages to the dogs. Now, that was a racial term that they used in those days between the Jews and the Gentiles. Just like we would be familiar with other ethnic groups and have slang name for them. And that's what Jesus said. I'm not giving that to the dogs. It's not meant for me to give it to the dogs. This is for our children. And that little old woman I've pictured, she's probably about 4'10". She said, okay, we're dogs. You say we're dogs? We're dogs. No problem with that. We're dogs. But why don't you look at your precious children and watch how they're handling the food? Then won't you let us dogs at least eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table? Now, that's a metaphor. What does that mean? Now, I'm sure tonight, Kenny, good seeing you, buddy. Always good seeing you, my friend. Me and Kenny could go out to eat tonight. And Ashley. And if Jacob don't mind, I'll ask Elizabeth to go with us so we have a foursome. We could eat at any restaurant in Griffin. and get up and get ready to leave, nobody got to bring the vacuum cleaner out to vacuum under the table. Because we're not going to be playing with our food. But you start bringing immature children in here. Am I telling the truth, mother? See, children don't preach. They don't understand the value of food. And because they're immature, they play with it. See, that's what the Jews were doing. They're just playing with it. Playing with it. She said, so why don't you let us dogs at least eat the crumbs from the children's table? Because obviously they're not eating it. They're playing with it. And it so startled Jesus. It was his aha moment. It was Christ said, see, I've been telling you that. Come out. And Jesus looked at that woman. He said, woman, I have not seen no greater faith, no, not even in Israel. And that's who I've sent to heal. And for the first time in his life, he turned to her and said, you go your way, little lady. Your daughter's healed. And he gave it to her. And she left, and the daughter was healed. Awesome. Now Christ is coming out. There's a transition taking place. Jesus, the religious Jesus, is taking a back seat. And the spiritual Christ is stepping up to the front. Now, if you let it, that'll happen in your life. The religious part of you will step back and let the Christ part of you step up. Now, to further this, he immediately left there and he went then into no man's land. He went into Samaria. Now, that was a no-no. He went into the project. What's that place they got over here in Griffin behind Chick-fil-A? What do they call that? The project over there? What do they call that? I mean, several people have told it to me. Oh, it ain't no secret. God, you don't go there trying to sell Tupperware. All right, there you go. Go one of them places. She said, boys, we got to go to Samaria. Why? We're not got no business in Samaria. We're Jews. We got no business in Samaria. We're Crips. We got no business with the blood territory. We got no business over there. We got to go. And they got over there, and Jesus is still, this wrestling is still going on in him, like it still go on with you. Should I? Shouldn't I? So he did what me and you would do. Jesus did what I would have done, you would have done. He told his disciples, why don't y'all go in town and get something to eat? All 12 of them? Won't all 12 of y'all go into town and get us something to eat? Why would he send them away? Because there was a woman there, a Samaritan woman, one of those others. He didn't want disciples to see him dealing with her. I mean, I don't want to deal with these people in public. Yeah. Come around the back. That's what we used to do when I was in South Georgia. In my day. Yeah, y'all going around to the back. We'll get you something back there. So he sent them all out. And he told the woman, he said, give me something to drink. Now it startled her. And right there in John 4, she said it. She said, you mean you being a Jew asked me, a Samaritan, to give you something to drink? See, why is all this happening? Why is all this turmoil in Jesus' life? See, this ain't a day in the life of Jesus. This is turning his apple carts upside down. This is a battle going on in his tradition spirit for the Christ now to come out of him. Warring in that. I mean, the first time I'm going to go witness to a drug dealer. Really? Let me go to somebody else. But see, that Christ in you won't. That Christ in you is like the chicken. It's like the little bitty in the egg. It's got to come out. The real you have got to come out. Now, you can battle it. You can smother it up, religiousize it. You can just say, well, but I'm telling you, the real you is going to come out at the most inopportune time. So she said, well, you ain't got nothing to draw with. That ain't getting David. He said, woman, if you knew who it was that's speaking. Now, Christ is speaking, not Jesus. Woman, if you knew who it was talking to you, you would ask of me and I'd give you water. So they got to talking. Help me out, David. Hand me that. Hold it close. Okay, hold it close. I like that. I've said me in 1968, hold me close, baby. Hold me close. Got to loosen you up a little bit. Amen. Now, don't look at me like, what in the world is she talking about? Oh, you know. Like I tell friends sometimes, you were there. You were on the bus. You know. We were on the bus together. So the disciples finally come back, and they saw Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman. And I love this part. It said they durst not ask him. That means they didn't dare ask him, what are you talking to her about? Because he was crossing cultures. Cross-pollination. No longer religious, but being Christ. Now that's the rest of the story where Christ in him came out. Jesus had to go through the same transformation that you and I have to go through for the Christ to come out. And that's the same thing. Now, I want to pick up there tonight. Now, this is intentional mind, a journey to positive thinking. Now, on a journey, you have destinations. Amen. How many like to go on a journey and you don't know where you're going? Nobody do that. Where are you going to go? I don't know. Well, you're going to go somewhere. Well, I need to know where we're going. Now, let's say we're going to go on a journey and we're going to go to Florida. And we're going to go south. So we're going to go down and hit 75 if we choose that to go south. Or we're going to go 42, 23. We can go south. Direction. But there are points along the way we're going to come to let us know we're on the right way. Are you with me? Now, this is a journey to positive thinking. Positive thinking ain't just something you decide, I think I'm going to try that. Because it's thought, thinking, and talking. Now, on this journey of positive thinking, the first village you're going to have to come to, you're going to need to recognize, is the power of your imagination. Your imagination is your godness in you. First thing you know, Christ is living and moving in you. You being spiritual and not religious. Now, religious has a word for that. They call it vain imagination. Be careful that imagination. It's a wild imagination. And yet you go to places like O'Howard there, and they're going to give O'Howard awards, and they're going to say he's a man of great imagination. People that build, that grow, that expand are people of imagination. Your imagination is your God. The God in you. Now, if you want to put a finger on the God in you, it's your imagination. What? Yep. Never heard that before? Well, you've gone a way you've never been before. You can't look for familiar road signs. We ain't on the religious road no more. We're on a spiritual path. Spiritual. You don't realize how important your imagination is. And what you really don't know is you use your imagination 24/7. Even when you're asleep, it's called dream. You're always using your imagination. Your imagination always starts with a thought. Your thinking is your imagination. Because the more you think about it, the clearer it gets. How many remember this scripture that we were created in the image of God? Let me see your hand. Four of you do. Don't rest. Y'all not believe me. It's there. Do you know the word image comes from the word imagine, which comes from the word imagination? So really, you came from the imagination of God. God has an imagination. He imagined you before you ever got here. Mankind showed up. Trees showed. Everything that God created started with him imagining it. That's why Paul writes later, who happened to be a spiritualist, like we said last week, not a religious, but a spiritualist, Paul says, for God calls those things that be not as though they were. He didn't say he called those things that be not as though they are. That's what we do. Well, that's just the way I see it. You call it the way you think it is. But he called it as they were. Now, follow me on this. What do you mean, as they were? Because God created the end from the beginning. Your life was complete the moment before you ever got here. Now hear me. You was birthed. Whenever your birthday was, you arrived here pre-programmed for success. Pre-programmed for greatness. For awesomeness. There's a book. I really want to recommend you this book. I really want to recommend it to you. Now, the title may say, ain't nobody's title, but believe me, it's a great book. And the name of the book is You Are a Badass. I can't read that. You need to read that. Because it's a guide to your greatness and a guide to your awesomeness. You are a badass. B-A-D. Let me revert back to Tweed County here. A-S-S. I remember my senior year in school. Yes, I did. I had a senior year in school. At the gym, the photographer took a picture, and the sign was supposed to read, pass out, passes out. But the P got left off. And it didn't catch the people who approved of the annual. And that's the most popular annual. Everybody pointed stars to it. Asses out. Asses out. So I want you to get that. Now, Terry Shaw, how many know T. Shaw? T. Shaw called me when him and Wanda was out in Vegas about 4 months or 5 months ago. And he bought me a book out there. And he read it before he got back, before the plane got back to Atlanta. He said, Doc, I got you a book. He said, I told Wanda, my God, this is Ralph Martin here. And then about a month ago, April, went out to San Francisco. We, her and other friends. And she bought the book out there. And she come in, she said, I got a book for you. I got a book, you got to read it. I said, what is it? You're a badass. I said, I got it. But thank you. But I have it. Do you? Yeah. I recommend this book because it is a guide to your greatness. You see, you're going to have to understand how great you are. How powerful you are. Because see, one of the things, if you're going to complete on this journey to positive thinking, your self-esteem is going to have to be built up. You're going to have to build your self-esteem up. And that's what I do. I build you up. If you don't like to be built up, you don't want to come see me. Because I'm not going to call you no lowly one, because I'm not religious. I'm going to tell you how great you are, and before this your session's over, I'm going to remind you what a badass you are. There's more to you than you see. There's more to you than you see. The problem is we don't see it because we've been religious and not becoming spiritual. Once you become spiritual, your eyes will see. And when your eyes begin to see, you begin to see then that your creativeness is your imagination. Now, let's put the first slide there, Jason. I must recognize that I am the inviter, the creator, the attractor of all things that come into my world. Nothing just happens. It has to be invited. It has to be wooed in. Well, I tell you what, I'm just like, what's going bad. Well, you invite it. I didn't know invite it. Well, I'm telling you now to quit inviting it. You attracted it. Everything is an attraction. Now, had a guy come to me one day, and I was sweet. I was lovable. I'm a sweet, lovable badass. And he asked me. He said, Brother Ralph, can I get you to grieve me in prayer about something? Well, it's going what it is. I want you to believe agree with me in prayer that God will send me a mate. God will send me a woman friend. I said, son, I called him by name. When did you start believing that God is your fetch it boy? He said, I beg your pardon. When did you start believing that God has become your fetch it boy? I don't know if I understand. Okay. A fetch it boy is someone you say, hey, go get me that. Go get me that. Joey, run down and get me a paper. Bring it out here real quick. If you don't mind, go get me a drink. Go get me this. Go get me a wife. Go get me a job. Go get me a house. Go get me a car. Matter of fact, why you ain't bring me back my house payment? When has God become your fetch it boy? He hasn't. You see, religion will never teach you about the awesomeness that in you that you are. I said, so what kind of woman you want? He said, I want a woman. Okay. Then I'm going to agree with you in prayer. Now, you do know there's over 7.3 billion people on this planet. Do what? 7.3 billion on this planet. Now, probably half of those are female. So now we've got about 3.7 billion women available for you. And then you don't know what kind you want. So I'm going to say universe or God. I know out of 3.7 billion you got somewhere on this planet, there's a 300-pound overweight, someone has losing her hair, done lost all of her teeth due to meth. Please send her, attract her, bring her, fetch her to this man here. He said, I don't want that kind of woman. Well, what kind you want? Well, I want her to be spiritual. I said, that don't tell me nothing. You got to get specific. You see, that's what offends people. Because all your life, all you got to do is, we used to sing it in Pentecost. Call him up and dial him up and tell him what you want. All you got to do is call him up, dial him up, tell him what you want. Fetch it from me. God is not your fetch it boy. We made him that. But that's why he's not. See, Jesus, when Christ came out of him, Christ never prayed to God to do anything. He attracted it to himself. Well, Brother Ralph, what about the Bible? When the Bible said, let your request be made, let your prayer request to God. You better read that verse again. It said, let your request be made known with thanksgiving. Based on what you already got, not what you want. See, everything in you, you have to attract it to you. Attract it to you. Because you are the inviter. All my thoughts, all the images in my mind, and all the feelings connected to those thoughts that I am thinking will sooner or later manifest itself into my physical world. You are the attractor. What are you attracting? So I want to talk to you tonight in the first city about using your imagination. Using your imagination. Next slide, Jason. Now, there's a young man. He's living in two worlds. To his left and right is a desolate, desolate place. He's living down the projects. Ain't nothing seem to be going right for him. But in his mind, in his imagination, he's seeing sunlight. He's seeing doves. He's seeing animals. He is seeing life burst. What do you see in your world? Well, in the natural world, I know what you see. Trump or Hillary. Someone asked me the other day, tell me, Brother Martin, what news do you listen to? I said, mine. Do what? I only listen to my news. You mean you don't listen to Fox? Nope. You don't listen to CNN? Nope. You don't listen to CBS? Nope. Well, how are you going to know what's going on in the world? I know exactly what's going on in my world. I monitor what's going on in my world every day. Well, that's not realistic. It's not in your world, but it is in my world. I don't live in your world, and you don't live in my world, okay? You don't live in nobody else's world. You decide who lives in your world. Then this man in what looks like to be of a desert, desolate, but in his mind, he's imagining his paradise. See, he's creating an image, and he's holding that image. And that is what will eventually appear in the whole picture of his life, is what he's imagining, he's believing, and seeing. Look to the next picture. Jason. One's imagination is all four. Your imagination. Everybody say this. I am my imagination. And your imagination that you are has four major playing parts in your life. The author, the producer, the director, making you the actor of your own life play. And if you don't like the way your life is playing out, simple, rewrite the script. You're the author. Reproduce it. I'm saying it again. God is not the author of your life. You are the author of your life. You're the director in your life. How many know Jesus said, when he died and Christ released, Jesus said, it's finished. How many remember here reading that or heard about it? Well, three of you have. Believe me, it's there. Jesus did not say, I'm finished. He said, it's finished. What is it? The way to Christ, to come alive in you is finished. And one of the first things that Christ is in your life is he is your imagination. And in your imagination, you are the author, the producer, the director, and the actor in your own life. You carry it out. Look to the next slide there, Jason. Now, we got two interesting characters here. A bank president and a bank robber. If you was to take the brain out of that bank president, it would be somewhere around, 7 to 9 to maybe 10 ounces. It looked like a sponge. And if you take the brain out of the bank robber, it'd be the same. What's the difference between these two men? Now, don't look at me like a mule looking down Newgate. Come on. Do what? The way they think. The way they think is what separates the two men. Their looks don't separate them. The way they think separates them. What separates you from being religious, from being spiritual? The way you think. The way you think. Now, they both have the same mind. Their thinking is what separates them. And both of them use their imagination. The bank president is grinning because he knows he's closing on some good deals at low interest. The bank robber is smooky because he doesn't got imagination. I'm going to get away with it. So what's the difference in their imagination? They're both, their imagination creates them to be what they are. Whereas one will go to and become wealthy, career, and the other one will spend the rest of his life in prison. By how they think. Look at the next slide. A pastor and a drug dealer. What's the difference between these two guys? Well, one know Jesus. No. One know Jesus. I know bank robbers. I know drug dealers, tell you right now. Make good deals. Say, thank you, Jesus. No, don't hand me that. That's religious. What separates the two is the same thing that separates the bank president and the bank robber. Their mind, the way they think about it. So next time you tell your kids, why do you do what you do? Because it's the way they're thinking. You are what you think about. And next time you say, I just don't understand how they could do that. Because you don't have their mind. If you had their mind, you'd do what they do. And if they had your mind, they'd do what you do. What separates us is our mind, is our imagination. That's why Christ actually believed, Jesus got to a point in his life where he actually believed, though he'd heard it thousands of times from his mama, I am the Christ. And it kicked. And he went through his transformation. And then I'm going to show you along this way in the next few weeks. Then the next city Jesus had to go through as his transformation was now his conformation to an image. What is the image? Let's look at the next picture there. Genesis 11:6. Very familiar scripture. You maybe know it. And this is when the children of God got together in the book of Genesis and they decided they like to know what God looks like. So they conspired together to build a tower up into heaven. And let's go look at God. For the last 4,000 years, man's still trying to build a platform to go see what God looks like. And never realize he is God. You catch that later. How many want to see God? Look in the mirror. You know exactly what he looks like. He looks just like you. Had a client of mine tell me one time, well, if I'm God, then why don't I act like God? I said, I don't know. Dummy, why don't you? Why don't you? Because no one ever told me I was. Well, I'm telling you, you are. So they build the tower. Now, I don't know how high they got, but they got pretty high. Because the metaphor, God said, let's go down and look at it. So God came down and looked at it. And then God said this in verse 6. God said, now. Or as he was South Georgia, he said, right now. Now, nothing will be restrained from them, men, women, which they have imagined to do. Now, what does nothing mean in Hebrew and Greek? Nothing. So if God has to say anything to you today in you, it would be there is nothing that David, you can't do. Elizabeth, there is nothing you and Jacob cannot do if you imagine it. Jason, my man, you've had to open that new shop down in Wilkinson County. You determine now what kind of shop you want to have, how much business you want to have. Imagine it. Hold it. Because imagination creates an image. Where do you see yourself at a year from now? Where do you see yourself? See, we would just stop there. Where will you be a year from now? Well, I'm hoping. No, I didn't say hope. What do you see? See yourself being. Well, I'm praying. No, don't pray. What do you see yourself being? No one sees themselves as a failure. And if you did, that's exactly what you would be. A failure. I see myself as confused. And guess what you're going to be? Confused. See, that's the key. Imagination sees. What do you see yourself? Because whatever you imagine, whatever you create an image of, is what's going to be produced. Now, here's this simple spiritual thing. You have to imagine it and hold it, and then spirit can create it. But spirit cannot create it if you ain't got an image that you're holding. Once you hold the image, then spirit creates it. Next slide, Jason. One's imagination is what creates one's images. One's mind is their canvas. How many loves art? Some of it, absolutely, some of it. It doesn't matter whether they take paint, throw it on the wall. People look at it and go, whoa, I can't believe that. Or they got a picture of Mona Lisa. Somebody imagined what it looked like and produced it. See, that's how important you are, because you are the creator in your life. What do you create? What you imagine you see. Well, what if I don't see nothing? Then you're going to create nothing. And then guess what your life going to be full of? Nothing. But you'll be at church every Sunday begging God to do it for you. Because you worship a God out there, up there somewhere to do it for you, and you're the creator. What are you creating? I'm believing God to bring my help. Your help will never come till you see yourself whole. You see yourself whole. You see yourself well. Get an image of it. All of you need to read the book. Again, badass. But all of you need to read the book of the autobiography of Walt Disney. He was laughed at. Because his little imaginary friends he was playing with, he named them Goofy, Minnie, Mickey. Oh, he got a crazy imagination. Oh, he did, didn't he? Now in the last 50 years, 800 or not at $900 million later, he's still making it. The world of imagination. How many of you have been to Disney World? A world of imagination. I go home with you tonight. I'm winning your house. I'm seeing the world, your world of imagination. You are exactly what you imagine yourself to be. You may didn't hope you didn't turn out that way, but you imagine yourself you would, sublineal, and you became what you imagined. Because you, your imagination is what God. You make me plow uphill, hard ground. One's mind is the canvas. What are you painting? What are you painting? What do you see yourself 3 years from now? Well, I'm hoping. No. Hope don't get it done. What do you see? Only an image. Imagination. Look at the next picture, Jason. Worry is a misuse. Worry is a thought gone wrong. The moment you start worrying, that is to let you know by the spirit being that that's a thought going wrong. Abort, abort, abort. Fear is your thinking going wrong. Do you know I said this before and it just went, roll ahead. Your fear can only attach itself to your future. Your fear can't attach itself to your past. It's gone. I don't have a fear now that I got home one night at 12 and supposed to be home at 11:30. Oh my God, I hope mama. No. 40 years ago. Whew, I got by. But what I fear, what did Job say? That which I feared the most has come upon me. Well, I was worried. I'm worried sick about it. And guess what you wind up being? Sick. Because you are the creator, Elvira. When's it going to register? When is it going to register? You are the creator of your own life. Next slide. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as mankind thinks within himself, so they are. You are what you think you are. And because most people have such a low self-esteem, so therefore they think of themselves lowly. Now, you had a person with low self-esteem and give him a good religious base that God's going to come at the right time and get him out of here. He won't do nothing but just sit and wait on God to come get him out. And will fade up and dry away and waste away. What good are we? Now, the reason there's such a change, now, I'm not getting this because this, I would love to get in this. But this cheese ain't for everybody. We'll be in about 2 years from now. I would love to get into this cheese with you that now we now have come into a new age, the age of Aquarius. We're leaving the age of Pisces, and now we're coming into the age of Aquarius. That's why I wanted that song played. I wanted the whole song played, not part of it. The sunshine, the sunshine. We're coming into the age of Aquarius where everything changes. I can see with my clients. Clients that I have right now, there's what I call millennials. 30 and under, they got it. My God, they got it. They get it. Those 40 to 50, they're getting it. 50 and over, well, what about what Jesus said? They stuck in a time warp. Time has moved on. I was preaching not long ago, well, it's been a while back, at World Changes Ministry, and I was speaking there. How the four faces of God. Now, you're talking about a mule looking in a new gate. You should have seen them faith people looking at me. The face of a lion, the face of a man, the face of an ox, and the face of an eagle. Right there in Ezekiel. And it changes from ox to eagle. Eagle to man. It's forever turning. That's the wheel in the wheel Ezekiel was talking about. And God is forever changing. I can listen to someone talk within 5 minutes, especially if they got a religious background, and I can tell you what error they still stuck in. Muir and I know. We used to hear people speak in tongues. Can you tell you what years they got it? People that spoke in tongues in the 70s weren't like those spoke in tongues in the 90s. It was a different dialogue. Because it was the collective consciousness of the time. Well, God don't never change it. So I had a guy come up to me. He said, Brother Martin, Dr. Martin, I wasn't a doctor then. He said, Brother Martin, I want to beg to disagree with you. And me, I love to make fun. I said, son, you ain't got to beg to disagree with me. Just disagree with me. Well, no, I didn't mean beg to disagree with you. I said, well, that's what you said. He said, the Bible says that God never changes. He's the same day, yesterday, and forevermore. He's the same. I said, I agree with you. God did say that. He never changes. But you just said he goes from the lion to the face of a lion, the eagle, the ox, and you show him where you said it, but he never changes. I said, son, do you understand you've never seen all of God? God is like an eternal scroll. He keep unfolding himself. What you saw in the 90s is outdated now. See, Israel ran into that in the wilderness when they crossed over. When they passed over, all of a sudden, picking up pom-pom, putting it in your pocket ain't popular no more. What is it ain't out there no more. Now they got to go plant their crops. They now got to go break up their fields. They now got to get a new way of producing food. You just happen to get the lucky draw, be born in between two ages. What can I say to you? So you need to adapt. And that's what I'm here for. Positive thinking. Now, look at Numbers 33. I mean 13:33. Help me out here. Everybody know the story. Israel coming in the promised land. God has told them, go into the promised land. They cross over. Moses dead. Joshua takes them over. Now, I do not know why Joshua, it's a metaphor, it's a lesson, why he sent 12 spies to confirm what God done told him. Another seminar for that. How long going to take us to get it? So he sent the 12 spies out, and they came back. And this is what they said, number 13:33. A lot of threes there. And the 12 spies reported back to the camp, and there we saw giants, the sons of Anak. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Now, wait a minute. Do you mean you captured one of them big boys of Anak? See, tradition tells us that the sons of Anak, they was anywhere from 7 foot to 12 foot tall. Big boys. You mean y'all captured one, tickled him, waterboard him, and then he told you what they thought y'all were? No. That's what we were in their sight, so that's what we were. We assume that's what we are because we compare ourselves with them and we're nothing. That's still the detriment of you being the God that you're to be by comparing yourself with others. Paul said, do never compare yourself with others. You tell that saying when I was growing up in the boys, keep up with the Joneses. Who's the Joneses? They're the do-gooders. Don't be comparing to them. Oh, they might got a new car. We can't get one. We poor. We can't afford that. And we still compare ourselves with others. That's what Israel were doing. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers. How do you see yourself? How do you see yourself? You would be amazed and shocked if you had to stand before yourself and totally be honest on how you see yourself. Well, I hope I'm okay. No, you should know you're all right. Now, this is the key. Hear me. Your perception determines your reality. Are you ready for this? And your perception not only determines your reality, but your perception comes from you reflecting in yourself. As you see in yourself is what you see others. Because Israel was saying, because we're little, none, the tallest one among us is 5'10". And them boys of Anak, they anywhere from 8 foot to 12 foot tall. We are as grasshoppers in their sight, and so we were in their sight. That was their reality. And guess what they didn't do? They didn't go in. What's keeping people out of exploring the kingdom within them right now? Because they don't think they're worthy. Low self-esteem, such a penny. See, as long as you look to a God outside of you, you'll never be worthy. The only way you'll ever see the worthiness of God is realize the worthiness of God is in you as you worthy as you honor yourself. Well, now, Brother Ralph, the Bible said don't be thinking yourself more than you ought. I asked a guy one time. He's trying to pull that on me. I said, do me a favor. What's that? If I'm not to think of myself more than I ought, will you explain me what an ought is? Well, they're more than you should. Well, what's a should? Well, don't think of yourself too highly. Am I to think of myself lowly? What do you think of yourself? How do you honor yourself? How do you honor yourself? Some of you have been my clients. Some of you still are my clients. How many times I tell you, honor yourself every day? I got a new one for you. If you ain't heard this yet, you're going to hear it in the next few weeks. Every day for the next 30 days, look in a mirror and go, Namaste. Which I honor the God in you. Look at your eyes in a mirror. I honor the God in you. Honor the God in you. When you honor it, it comes alive through your imagination. Next slide, Jason. There are six basic imaginations. Intellectual imagination, fantasy imagination, strategic imagination, emotional imagination, dreaming imagination, and memory reconstruction. Now, your imagination cannot be used for your past, because it's past. Only thing you will happen to your imagination if you try to use it on your past, it's going to lead you to deception and delusionals. You know what? If me and Sally would have went to the farm, if we'd have went to the fair in 1970, my Lord, I just imagine how it would be today. I can't do that. It ain't 1970 no more. Plus, now Sally's married and got 8 kids. I can't use my imagination for my past. I'm wondering what it would have been. That's witchcraft. You use your imagination to create your future. So, Jason, you imagine, get a picture of what that shop going to look like. Take a picture of what that shop looked like. Keep it before you. See that every day them stalls are filled with trucks. Hold that imagination. See, when you hold an image of what you desire, Spirit goes and paints it and brings it into your reality. That's why you got to read this book. You're a badass. Because you're the creator. Your greatness. Your awesomeness. You know why you have a hard time believing you're that? Because no one ever told you you were. And you know why your mama and your pastors and your school teachers didn't tell you you were? Because no one told them they were. So we're going to start a new trend today. This new generation. Start telling yourself. There's more to me than you see. I really recommend this book by Neville Goddard. Your Awakened Imagination. Your Awakened Imagination. Because that's your godness. God created you in His image. When God breathed breath, how many know breath means, in the Hebrew it means, breath means life, spirit. God breathed spirit, breath, into that dirt, and that dirt became a living soul that He named Elohim, creator. What does a creator do? He creates. Had a client today. I said, now play with me this game. Let's play this game together. Okay, it's an easy game. Okay. Let me give you the first answer. Dogs bark. Got it? Got it. Dogs bark. Cats meow. Got it. Liars? Cheaters? Cheat. Creators? Create. Now this is a question. What are you creating? You're creating exactly your present day reality. And if you're waiting on God to do it for you, that bus done left the station and ain't coming back no more. What are you attracting? In 1958, New York City, Neville Goddard was doing a teaching on the awakened imagination. And he was giving strategies on how to use your imagination to create. And there's a man sitting in that audience, an African American. He was a sharecropper's son. When his daddy died, when he was in World War II, left the farm to him, the only child. Left over 250 acres. They lived in Mississippi. War was over. He's back home. Had a hard time getting a job. Plus, Mississippi, African American. So his wife said, well, are you going to take back up farming? He said, I don't want to farm no more. I'm tired of farming. She said, what do you want to do? He said, I want to be a real estate agent, April. I want to be a real estate agent. His wife said, have you lost your ever-loving mind? Do you know we're in Mississippi? Have you looked in the mirror lately? There are no black real estate agents in Mississippi in 1948. But that's what I want to be. And that's what I'm seeing myself being. So I don't know. He found out somewhere that if he walked off 500 steps this way, put down a stake, take 500 steps that way, put down a stake, 500 steps back that way and put down a stake, and then make another. Now he got a square. And he said, that should be big enough for a good house lot right there. So he measured all five lots. Got an old board. I mean, went to the store and got a piece of old cardboard and wrote for sale. And he started saying, I see this selling. I see houses building here. She said, you crazy. Ain't nobody going to buy this land from you. I see it. Within 2 years, he sold all five lots. Then he took another five lots. Then another five. And by 1951, he had sold all the 350 acres into lots. By 1957, when he was in New York City at Neville's teaching of the Awakened Imagination, he was the first African-American millionaire real estate agent in the South. He made it because he dreamed he could do it. I see it. I see it. That's why, Howard, what do you see? What do you see? What do you see? That's why, Kenny, see yourself healed, Kenny. See yourself well. See yourself high-stepping. See yourself. Because whatever the image you have, you hold it. Spirit goes out and creates it and brings it to pass. Late 1950s, late 50s, early 60s, his name was Jimmy Fuller. Jimmy's little old boy now was 10 years old. And he told his daddy, he said, "Daddy, all the kids in school getting watches. I like to have a new shiny watch." He set him down. He said, "Now, son, I can buy you a watch, or I can teach you how to manifest a watch. If I buy you a watch, but if you learn to manifest it on your own, I'm putting you on a path of life. What do you want to do?" Now, this ain't a made-up story. This is true. The little boy said, "I want to create a watch, Daddy." He said, "Okay, son. This is what I want you to do. Every morning, every day, what time your mama get you up for school?" He said, "Mama gets us up at 6:45. Every morning when your mama wake you up, I want you to look at your bare arm and I want you to see a watch. And I want you to imagine that it says 6:45. And when you come in the living room and you go eat breakfast and you're getting ready for school, what time you got to walk out of the door to go catch the school bus?" He said, 7:15. "Okay, every morning when you eat your breakfast, you walk and you look at that mantel clock, I want you to automatically look at your hand and I want you to see your wristwatch saying 7:15. I want you to do it. When you get to school, what time you get to school? What's the first bell?" "Got a clock there?" "Yes, sir." "What time the bell ring?" He said, 8:30. "When they hear the bell ring, I want you to look. Anytime you look at a clock, I want you to immediately look at your arm, visualize it's a watch seeing that time. Can you do that?" He said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Do it, son." 10 months later, little boy came home from school one day and he ran in and said, Daddy, look what I got, look what I got, Daddy. He said, "Boy, where'd you get that watch?" He said, "Down the bus stop this morning. You in them plum bushes down there by the ditch?" "Yeah." "Well, I looked over there and there was something real shiny. And I wanted to look and it was this watch." He said, "Son, you just manifest your first miracle. Now you know now how to go create your life. Imagine it." Now, what did God? Now, okay. Let's put it like what God said now. "Hey, y'all didn't believe that, did you? I didn't really mean that." Now, nothing can be kept from you if you can imagine it. How big you want your business to be, Jason? How many trucks you want to turn out a day? Imagine it. Walt Disney, little old boy. People, kids thought he was crazy. Who's your playmate friends? Goofy? Oh, yeah, really. I know you got that one, Goofy. But he never lost the image. He took the image. I remember when I started seeing April. April English here. Real estate agent. Great one. I got her on her IMs. Her first assignment was go every day, every morning, every day. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, "I am the best real estate agent. I got real estate everywhere for sale." And about 3 weeks later, she come in. She said, "Brother Ralph, I got to stop saying I am because I'm getting too much business." I said, "No, don't stop. Keep it going. Keep it going. What do you see? What kind of nurse you want to be, Ron? Imagine it. See it." What do you want to be? What do you want to be? What kind of school teacher do you want to be, Ashley? Then see it. Then define best. And become it. There's a scripture in Matthew 27. And there's a blind man following Jesus. And Jesus stopped and said to the blind man, "Come to me." They brought the blind man to Jesus. And Jesus asked him a question. Or Christ asked him a question. See, once you see now Christ and Jesus Christ, you know now which one talking. Not Jesus talking. No, that's Christ talking to everybody. And Christ asked this man, do you believe I'm able to do this? And he said, yes, Master, you're able to do it. Then Christ said, now go and become what you believe. Ooh. And the next verse 30 said, and he was healed. He became it, Joey. What kind of coach you want to be, Joey? And I want to tell you, I'm so thankful for this man right here, Joey. So thankful for Mary. Mary, Intent Yoga. Joseph, Mojo Ministries. We connected as one. What do you want to be? How big do you want your business to go, Howard? It's going to only go as you imagine. No, you cannot let her imagine your dream. Francis don't imagine my dream. I don't mess with her. She don't mess with mine. Because it ain't her dream. It's my dream. That's why Jimmy Fuller told his wife, you can't be no real estate. Have you looked in a mirror lately? You black. That's a white man job. I'm going to be a real estate agent. He imagined him selling land. 12 years later, he was the first millionaire. He sold it. What do you imagine? Dr. Ken and Dr. David Hitson here in medicine, they know the powers of miracle drugs. Somebody dreamed them. Somebody imagined them. Somebody didn't say, thank God. When they discovered penicillin, they labeled it the miracle drug. What if it was the only drug we never advanced beyond that? The graveyard would be a lot bigger today, wouldn't it, David? But someone dreamed. Oh, man. This is good and gooder. Once I get you to really be a badass, you're going to vacation there. And you're going to create there. Who told you? Who told you that you were naked? Who told you? See, Debbie, dream. Don't settle. See, we settle what people think. Well, somebody said, quit thinking what other. What is your dream? What do you see? What do you imagine to be? Let's all stand. Who's dreaming your dream? You or somebody else? How big you want it to be? Like Jimmy Fuller said to his little boy, you want that watch? Yes, sir. You want to create it? Yes, sir. Then start looking at that arm. And every time you look at that arm, you look at it. The moment you look at any clock anywhere, you look at your arm. You see that watch. You see the time. And you hold it. And 10 months later, well, he found one somewhere. It doesn't matter how he got there, Junior. He manifested it for himself. Quit analyzing it. See, we are so analytical minded, we'll explain it right away. And you wonder why we don't get it. What do you want to be? I can show you 75 years ago when we started this journey to positive thinking. I got real, and so did Francis, we got real big in what we call vision boards. I go to Google. So would Francis, Google it. I want to go to San Francisco. I went to Google, city of San Francisco, cut it out, pasted it on my vision board. I see myself in San Francisco. Thank you, I'm going to San Francisco. Thank you, I'm going to San Francisco. Been there 3 times in the last 7 years. So whatever it is, I visualize it. I've got bored with pictures of classrooms filled with people just like you in it. You were a vision of mine 4 years ago before I even knew your name. But now you manifested. And I didn't wait for God to do it. I created the image and I held it, Betsy. You can do the same with your children. You can do the same here with your daughter. What do you want to see? What do you want to see? Lipstick, diamonds, is this all right? This is good, ain't it?
It's good.
Just good and gooder. So if you don't like what you're experiencing, remember, you're the author, the director, the producer, and the actor of your life's play. Change that, amen. Okay? Everybody still love each other? All right, we got 7 minutes to go, so go hug everybody about 3 times, tell them you love them, amen. Ron, you did a super job tonight, buddy. Hug everybody's neck and tell them you love them, amen. Now, don't leave here tonight and sin. Don't come hug my neck, amen. Be sure you hug my neck.